Good morning, everyone. This is Noreen Y. Houston, and I will continue reading from the Essence magazine, the August edition, actually, with Serena Williams, The Art of Making an Impact, the Global Fashion Issue. 2019, Best in Black Fashion. Honoree, icon, pioneer who changed the fashion landscape. Pat Cleveland, a trailblazing model who sashayed, twirled, and posed her way into legendary status. Cleveland first hit the scene in the 1960s, breaking barriers for women of color in an industry that had long ignored us. She continued to captivate audiences in the decades that followed with her lithe frame, larger-than-life personality, and vibrant runway walk. One of the first African-American models to achieve prominence as both a runway and print model. She has graced the covers of Vanity Fair, Essence, Harper's Bazaar, Cosmopolitan, Elle Officielle, Vogue Paris, W, and L. Last season, she triumphed at the all-black Zendaya x Tommy Runway show alongside with Grace Jones, Tyra Banks, and other legends. Fashion expert and costume designer Shiona Torini. Nominees, Stylist of the Year. Standout Image Maker. Shiona Torini, Zarina Ackers, and Wayman plus Micaiah. Former fashion editor turned costume designer Torini has shared her expertise with high-profile clients, including Solange Knowles, Issa Rae. Most recently, she shaped the fashion aesthetic of Lena Waithe's forthcoming film, Queen and Slim. Ackers, Queen Bey's personal stylist and wardrobe curator, continues to create iconic looks for her legendary client, including fits for Beyoncé's On the Run 2 tour and her formation, SH.T, and the Lion King videos. Wayman and Micaiah create cutting-edge looks for its girls, Tessa Thompson, Regina King, Kiki Layne, and others. As a black woman in Sweden, everything I do is political. Salam Fashahe. Nominee, Emerging Designer of the Year. Fashion brand on the rise. Salam Fashahe, Christopher John, Rogers and Rich Menissi. Swedish Eritrean talent Salam Fahese debuted her ginger bending collection during Stockholm Armed. With a background in fashion styling, the young visionary experiments with Altarian shapes, exaggerated silhouettes, and texture play. Baton Rouge, Louisiana bred designer Christopher John Rogers' artful creations feature feminine flourishes and whimsical details. The CFDA Vogue Fashion Fund nominated talent got his start interning for New York labels Tanya Taylor and Rossi Osselin before launching his eponymous line in 2017. South African designer Rich Menissi founded his namesake brand in 2015, featuring a contemporary take on classic silhouettes. The 2014 Africa Fashion International Young Designer of the Year infuses his vibrant sensibility into timeless looks, pulling from traditional cultural influences. The young creative reimagines classic silhouettes in colorful prints and unexpected pairings for a look that is equal parts cutting edge and timeless. And some of these suits and these colors are so vibrant, ladies and gentlemen. You will absolutely love it. Honoree, Disruptor Award. Powerhouse challenging the status quo, Rihanna. With the launch of her LVMH-backed Fenty Maison, Riri took her style game to the next level status, making history as the first woman of color to lead a house under the luxury brand. Her unique limited edition seasonal drops challenged the typical retail models with a fresher consumer-facing strategy. Nominees: Red Carpet Maven Award, Style Injuine, Making Waves, Kiki Lane, Yara Sahardi, and Tessa Thompson. Following her big screen debut last year, Oscar-winning If Beale Street Could Talk, Lane has continually turned out stunning looks, transitioning from classic glamour, a la her 2019 Academy Awards dress, to her camp-inspired Met Gala get-up. Sahidi remains a unique red carpet mainstay with just the right touch of whimsy, while Thompson has a breakthrough or breakout year with a string of wow-worthy outfits for her Men in Black International press tour. Nominees: Accessory Designer of the Year, Standout Accessory Designer, Johnny Nelson, El Chantour, and Amina Abdul-Jalil. Nelson creates hip-hop-inspired jewels, celebrating Black trailblazers and cultural icons. The Brooklyn artist's hand-carved portraits featured likeness of Biggie, Malcolm X, Shirley Chisholm, Tupac, and others. Nigerian Yoruba twin sisters Team El Enchantor specializes in culturally informed pieces molded in metal and stones worn by Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu. Hailing from Anchorage, Alaska, Abdul-Jalil creates exciting footwear beloved by Tracee Ellis Ross and Angela Simmons. And all of the pieces, the jewelry, the footwear, all of it is just absolutely spectacular. Nominees Change Agent Award, Label with a Mission, Lim Lim for Montclair Genius, Hope for Flowers by Tracy Reese and Pyre Moss. Leah Kibidi's sustainable label partnered with Pierpaolo Piccoli for artful homage to the Ethiopian artisans she supports. Tracy Reese returned with an eco-friendly capsule collection, and Pyre Moss founder Kirby Jean Raymond teamed up with Lena Waithe and Johnny Nelson to create Met Gala looks with a message of inclusion. Dana Shrugs is making her mark. Nominee Photographer of the Year, Visionary Lens Person. Dana Scruggs, Atasha Jordan, and Nadine Ejiri. These three artists, hailing from the south side of Chicago to the UK, create soul-stirring portraits that celebrate Black beauty at its best. And some of these outfits are just absolutely spectacular, with the colors, with the styles, the creativity in them all. It's just absolutely wonderful. Wild Wanderer, known for slaying ballrooms with grace and style, trans actress Lena Bloom readies for her big screen debut. By Raquel Willis, photography by J.D. Barnes, styling by Muriel Bobo. When Lena Bloom walked the 25th annual Latex Ball, one of the most anticipated fashion and dance competitions among transgender women and gay men in New York City, the crowd went wild. Wearing a sexy little sculptural number embellished with faux filage, she was greeted by shouts of Mikayi and Moogler, a nod to her newly minted status as mother of the house, named for iconic designers Issey Mityaki and Thierry Mugler. Ballroom hasn't seen her in 5 years, recalls Yousef Williams, house father, and celebrity hairstylist. No one saw her transition. She came back as this beautiful blossomed woman that was probably one of the most memorable moments in ballroom history because it was her return in a new house. It was a very big deal. Indeed, Bloom's return was much bigger than the trophy she would win for the good face and flair she brought to the stage. During her time away, she had matured, become more confident in her talents, and started to set her sights on opportunities beyond the balls. Her determination paid off. This year, as lead actress in the Martin Scorsese-produced film Port Authority, Bloom made history as the first trans woman of color to star in a movie that premiered at the Cannes Film Festival. Born on Chicago's South Side to an African-American military man and woman from the Philippines, the two met while he was on active duty. Bloom was destined for an unconventional life. When Bloom was 2 years old, her mother was deported to her home country, leaving a gender nonconforming child to be raised primarily by her father with the help of her paternal grandmother and aunt. Being a military man and raising a feminine energy from birth into adulthood was truly a challenge for him, Bloom says. But he did the best he could and gave me nothing but love, and that's all I needed. Inspired by her talented lineage, which included a great-grandmother who owned a dance studio, an aunt who danced with Sammy Davis Jr., and a cousin, Lee Howard, who is a famed tap dancer, Bloom embraced dance as her go-to form of expression. After performing in productions like Swan Lake and The Nutcracker, a 15-year-old Bloom was approached to join the ballroom circuit. She quickly began snatching trophies for her show-stopping presence. At 18, after coming to terms with her gender identity, she dropped out of the Chicago Academy for Arts because it wouldn't allow her to continue the scholarship she had won as a male while presenting as female. She decided to move to New York City. Bloom's earliest days in the Big Apple weren't glamorous by any means, especially since she didn't have a survival plan. She was homeless, scraping together money for cheap pizza, and sleeping on subway seats. One day, Bloom met the owner of Soho Boutique while pursuing its coffee table books. She was married to photographer Anton Vergalis. After an introductory call, Bloom secured a photo shoot and a ticket to major exposure. He was asking me, "Why are you not signed to an agency? Why are you not working?" Bloom recalls. And next thing you know, I was shooting with this photographer who had worked with Angelina Jolie, Lisa Liu, and Cameron Diaz. Her fortuitous session with Vergalis led to her gracing the winter cover of Candy Magazine with 13 other trans women of note, including Laverne Cox, Janet Mock, Gina Rosero, and Carmen Carrera, positioning her as a role model for the larger LGBTQ+ community. I was like, this is that historical moment I want to be a part of, Bloom says. A few years later, she made a splash at New York Fashion Week, walking the runway for brands like Tremont, Laquan Smith, and the Blondes shortly. Shortly after, she became the second trans woman of color to be featured in an international edition of Vogue India, following the footsteps of Tracy Norman, a black trans model who appeared in Vogue Italia in 1975 and 2017. By then, the fashion world was taking real notice of Bloom, and she was constantly flooded with modeling requests. But an acting career also beckoned. I was looking for ways to tell my story or tell stories of people I have looked up to, she explains. I was looking for that right role, and then the opportunity presented itself. The opportunity came when Bloom nabbed the lead role in Port Authority, in which she plays Y, a transgender woman from the Kiki scene a subgen of ball culture, who meets Paul, played by Fionn Whitehead, an ostensibly straight cisgender man. A passionate romance develops between the two. Written and directed by Danielle Lasovitz, the film has been lauded by critics and was selected for the Uncertain Regard competition at Cannes. Once again, Bloom turned heads, this time at the movie's theater premiere. Jari Jones, Bloom's friend, acting coach, and an associate producer on the film, recalled feeling the significance of the moment when, during the cast and crew's walk on the red carpet, some of the film's co-stars vogued in front of the crowd. The head of Cannes came up to us the next day at a lunch, Jones remembers. He said, "I've been doing this for a long time, and this is a huge weekend for photographers to make money. I have never seen them put their cameras down and applaud like they did after y'all performed." In an increasingly inclusive world, Bloom is confident that she will continue to break down barriers that have plagued Black trans women. And with hard-earned wisdom, she's calling for people to join her in the fight. "Everything that we want, need, and seek is inside of us," she says. "We want to find things inside of us that we don't see in the world and then go out and create them. We are in the world where we don't fit in, so we need to create one where we do. That's our responsibility, the gift we need to pass on." Made in Kabira. Among the hundreds of thousands of residents living in one of the continent's largest urban slums are artisans and creatives who are putting the buzzing community on fashion global map, by Tanya A. Christian. More than 7,000 miles away from the lavish fanfare of New York City's Fifth Avenue, Kabira's busting streets tell a divergent story of fashion ingenuity. Throughout the Nairobi area settlement, bold colors are secondhand style among the mud huts that have come to define the chocolate city. Kabira was not always a center for fashion, but today it stands as an emerging scene for the artists who have chosen their bodies as canvases and carefully curate their ensembles as a means of self-expression. Clad in conspicuous garments, these men and women are painting a rich picture of the Kenyan community, most often defined by its abject poverty. For photographer Brian Otinio, the opportunity to capture Kabira's evolving fashion footprint on film has led to an internationally recognized passion project. CNN, the BBC, the New York City Times, and The Guardian have all spotlighted the work of the 26-year-old whose Kabira Stories photo collection has been shown in Paris, Lisbon, Kampala, and New York City. Since 2016, the documentarian, who goes by the moniker Storyteller, has used his skills behind the lenses to show a vibrant society that has grown in spite of scarcity. You find that so many people come to Kabira, they always have in mind that they're coming to a poor place. So they are going to take poor images. They are going to take photos of people suffering, Otirio says. And yeah, I know, that's happening. But that's only part of the story. Since the introduction of free public Wi-Fi in the East African country around 2015, Kabira's narrative has slowly started to shift. Kenyan public policy expert Naomi Rono explains that the presence of social media stemming from access to mobile technology and the internet has enhanced the universal interest in shantytown. Simultaneously, it has expanded the locals' appreciation for what style really is. Prior to the digital penetration of the area, Rono asserts the stitching of clothes was not regarded as fashion, rather it was simply a trade. But perception has changed with the fusion of cultures made possible by visual platforms like Instagram. It's almost like it's transforming a very traditional trade that our parents used to perform as a regular and mundane task to something that is really getting attention and is even attracting people to develop runway material. The Washington, D.C. public policy expert contends designer David Oching is one of the local designers Rono is referring to. The 20-something known around Kabira as Looks Like Avido started his company with $2 US. Wow! A typical daily income in Kenya given to him by his mother and a sewing machine gifted to him by the late Kenneth Okoff, the area's former parliamentary member. Before working with Quality Textiles, Oching used bed sheets. Wow! Gift from one of the settlement's secondhand markets to stitch together looks for his dance team. The bed sheets were like 60 cents each, so that's 120 cents. And then the other cents I use for transport fee to market and back. The grade school dropout recalls of the start of his growing fashion business. While Oching has graduated from used lines to more luxe fabrics for his roster of clients, which now includes Jamaican reggae artists, Chronix, and dancehall entertainer Agent Sasko. Many of the trendsetters in Kabira rely heavily on the pre-owned goods sold by Kikamba and Toy Markets, two of Nairobi's shopping plazas, Jabaz, Ojambo. A photographer and filmmaker credits the vendors with giving young people who want to present themselves well but can't afford it an opportunity to dress up and look sharp while being realistic about their financial limitations. A perfect example of this trend is a group of young adults known around town as Girfushi. Ojambo shot the band of friends for a photo series he called Thrift Kings. Much like Oching and Otinio, they have used social media to grow their following. Rono suggests that the number of people looking to these avenues to promote and create revenue for themselves will continue to rise. The population is growing, or at least the people who require gainful employment within the country is growing faster than they're able to generate jobs. Rono points out, so a lot of these people are opting for self-employment, and they look for things that they can easily do with minimal capital and then see where it leads them. They start with small pieces, and maybe a few friends will buy clothes that they design or sew. And then from there, depending on those whose eye they catch, the business grows. Enterprise creation within Kabira is booming. But entrepreneurs with a heart for its people are also soaring. Talent from inside the impoverished area to grow culturally relevant brands outside the Kenyan market. California-based designer Yima Khalif is a product of the slum settlement. He's chosen to sow into the community by tapping local artisans to create handcrafted footwear for his YimaKali.com retail store. 20% of the proceeds from the online sales go towards scholarships for orphan children in Kabira and his wife's country of Ethiopia. That's awesome. Giving back to the community so that they can be educated and move forward and progress in their lives as well. I love that. It is the act of giving that landed Khalif where he is today. Though the burgeoning business was forced to leave high school burgeoning businessman was forced to leave high school due to financial instability, a scholarship to attend college in the United States put him on a path to greater success. Now, the San Francisco Bay Area resident travels home regularly to participate in the fashion scene that he continues to help advance. There is an organization that I'm involved in that puts on fashion shows in Kibera every year, Khalif discloses. It's just a reason for people of Kibera to laugh and to appreciate the beauty that is there. It also allows them to see that they can become models, that they can become actors, that they can become whatever they want to be. In spite of the circumstances surrounding the people of Nairobi's neglected neighborhood, Hope, dressed in broad strokes of color, provides the innovators, the storytellers, the cultural shifters, an opportunity to see the beauty within the bustle. It moves Otino to create masterpieces amid the mud. It gives Khalif a reason to fight for the children of Kibera's future. It prompts Oching to get out his sewing machine and continue designing. I'm showing the world that what we do here, this is here, Oching says with conviction. Despite not having the expensive things to wear, we find a way to do what we can to express ourselves to the world. Kibera is a home of talent. It's a home of art. And yeah, it's a center for fashion. And these fashions are absolutely gorgeous, ladies and gentlemen. As I've indicated before, dear sis, so before I actually get into this story here of body and soul, I am going to probably pause here and then we'll pick up there on next week, if that's okay with you all. And we'll begin there with Dear Sis, Body and Soul. So in the meantime, I hope that you all have a fabulous, enjoyable weekend. Enjoy this weather. Get out. Do some things. Just begin to engage in life if you're not already doing so. And smile at someone today. You just never know. It can make their day as well as yours.